I talk to a spirit. She comes in my dreams.
What is the path to awakening supposed to look like, to feel like? How do you know if you are on it? We ask these very sacred and sometimes vulnerable questions to many different women from all walks of life. A conversation that needs to be shared and heard. I'm Jo Hendy.
I'm Amanda Parker.
And welcome to the Girl Awakening Podcast. Hello, Amanda.
Hey, Jo.
Oh, I love these days.
Well, it's the best. It is, it's kind of like those gifts that just keep on giving.
Yeah.
And the receiving, it just loops straight back around to giving it back out again, all in one moment.
Absolutely. And, you know, to our listeners who will probably listen to this down the track, today we're coming to the end of a month and then on to the last month of the year, which has literally flown by. It's been a really big, big, powerful year.
And some people will be saying, get it over with already. Let's sign off on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And others will be going, I don't know if I want to see on. What next year is about.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's what we're kind of here about today, really, in a way, with our special guest.
Yes. So our special guest today, if you are a Girl Awakening, what do you call
family
it?
Family.
Family member. Listener. You will know this girl. We love her. That's why we keep getting her back on, because she's so in tune with the energies at play and everything else that goes
freaking
with it.
Freaking nails it.
Freaking nails it. Mm. Exactly. We have Narelle Clyde back with us.
Yay! thank you. It's always so lovely to be here. It's like coming home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. In saying that, Narelle's just shared with us that she arrived on our beautiful continent, Australia, 11 years today.
Well, this is the 11-year anniversary of my citizenship.
Okay.
So I got my dual citizenship 11 years ago, but I've been in Australia 17 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
So now, 11 years ago, you could start running.
Stop hiding. Like, I'm here. You can't get rid of me now.
That's so beautiful. Just a really quick answer. Probably won't, you know, I know it would be a longer answer, but just really briefly, why Australia?
I was called.
Yeah. Mm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's so it. Nice. Yeah. Thank you.
And was the card a short that Jo, answer. On the card on that note, the card that Jo pulled up today actually has a koala on it, which is, you know, adoring virtue card.
Yeah.
And so we kind of had a little... We went shaman sideways for a little bit around that subject, didn't we?
Yes.
It's a good way of describing it.
It's so up our alley.
Yes.
Yeah. We had a little chat about where we wanted to go today, because there are so many paths, as always, but there's one that seems to be in the space at the moment, especially with our recent podcasts. And look, we can probably go back to Britt Laidlaw. That was a big activation for me personally.
Oh, she was incredible.
She was incredible.
And she's been doing some amazing things.
Literally,
actually, to this recently... has been playing shaman as well and acting out
the dancing fox.
Yes.
Oh, I loved you have it. You had to go onto her Instagram.
Oh, and my check gosh, it out. I have to check this out.
She is adorable. I mean, it's phenomenal, actually. It's a great gift to children.
She's so cool, in her divine essence, she is purely a beautiful gift.
Yes. Yeah. But she did trigger a big movement into this space that we're kind of going to go into even more today with a few other alignments that are happening around environment, ecosystems, ecosomatics, but the whole, you know, we've been laughing around the shaman animal medicine, but the grounding energy is really quite a big vibe that's coming through. And as you can probably tell today, we're a little bit ungrounded.
We have been giggling a lot before this.
Lots of laughter. It's been good.
But it's a really coming in thick and fast around a lot of the people that have been coming through as our guests, the message.
I love it. I really love it. I really resonate with it. And if you had have asked me even 12 months ago around this area, I would have gone, oh, yeah, I take my shoes off and I do this. But I'm not as deep as what you can go. What's purely available. So on that note, just so you're, I probably confused our listeners already, but
we're laying foundation.
We're laying the foundation. Mm. What we want to ask our beautiful Narelle today, because I know that she's going to just jump right in and go into her little world of intuition and knowingness and channeling and all of those things and give us Gecko a beautiful confirms. Answer. But there is this, I'm going to call it an illusion around what the awakening is, what being spiritual is, and there are so many like ways. It's not just one way. We know that through the podcast. But around, for me, for a long time, I always thought it was something up there. Mm. And for our listeners, I'm kind of putting my hands above my head and going like somewhere out there.
Out of this world.
Out of this world. Yeah. Mm. And over the last few years, I've been listening to other women and talk about grounding and of the earth and being more on the earth and being more human and grounded in that, and that that's where our awakening is and resides. Mm. Can you share your thoughts around that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have many.
Yeah, you would.
So I think the first thing that comes to mind is a saying that I love to say is there's nothing more spiritual than being human. Mm-hmm. And so it's very easy and tempting to want to go off into the ethers and into other dimensions and explore the 5D, 12D and galactic families and which star seed family you came from and all the shenanigans. But what does it really mean? Mm. You know, if we're using that as an escape to be in the human experience, then it's not going to serve us very well. And I know that in the past I found myself there because there's a kind of a longing for home, knowing that this is a temporary home that we get to spend hopefully somewhere close to 80 or 100 or even 120 years, they're saying now. But it's a very short temporary home, and so there's that longing for our true home, which is source.
And when you say that, just I just want to like jump in. A very short time. It's a minute time.
A blip.
Like to compared like to who we really are. Blip. It's a literal blip, isn't it? In the scheme of things.
Yeah. You mean you think we are eternal beings, and that is, you know, that's endless, that's infinite. And so how can this little micro moment really in time, it that seems so significant and important and like all the things,
horrifying,
we take ourselves so seriously
throughout the seriousness, absolutely. And like, you know, even there's so many places that we can go with that, but and so it is, I think that's a really good point, to really just not take ourselves so seriously, and not try and escape the human experience, because it's like it's the classic shiny object syndrome, and it's also very tempting to look at the ether and the star seeds and, you know, the galacticness of it as the shiny object syndrome, but also as the seeking outside of oneself. Whereas if we're here, if we're grounded, if we're connected, we truly feel all the things that we're here to feel and move through and experience and transcend, because it's in the human experience we chose to come here on some level that we are then, you know, reflected to by our earthly brothers and sisters, or really just different versions of ourselves, as we move through life. And that's what we're here for, from that perspective.
Yeah. Oh, I just had a beautiful vision when you were sharing that of being the all beingness and or starseed or light being and coming to home away from home, which is earth here, and kind of while we're here reversing that elastic band that wants, you know, part of us wants to ping back out there again to this is our home, and embracing it so fully, all in all ways, as being our home.
And it's, you know, it's the senses, and I think the sensation of being human, especially if you are a sensitive soul or, you know, empath or however you want to term it, you're feeling a lot of feels.
Yeah.
Especially, excuse me, in recent years, you know, it's pretty intense. Mm. And so it can be even more tempting to want to escape. And I mean, there's a whole industry that's really taken off to, you know, find your true starseed name and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And like, great, have fun, play with it. But come back home to yourself at the end of the day and connect with Mother Earth, where we live.
And where we truly belong, I guess, if you want to put it that way, because for that blip, which is repeated over many lifetimes, if you want to accept that, we need to honour her by really recognizing how she receives us over and over and over and over again, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And and connecting with that. And I don't think, especially listeners here, you know, can't deny the fact that when you are out in nature, connecting with the earth or the ocean or the water or the plants or the flowers or the trees or whatever, some aspect of Mother Nature, you feel something. You feel different. You feel better.
Yes.
You feel more energized. You feel the groundedness and the calm and the peace and the connection that comes with that. It's important.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. And sometimes we take it for granted because we know we feel good, but we don't know why we feel good. We just go, oh, I really liked when I did that hike, or I really liked that swim I did. Swimming is a really big one. Everybody, I don't think I've heard anybody that says they feel like crap when they come out of the ocean.
No, not a chance.
It's like, it feels like a sacred bath, you know. It's like you come out of it. Yeah, it's so beautiful. Yeah. And look, I know that me and my hubby Trev, we go off the grid. We try and go every year for about 4 weeks. And, you know, it takes a while to get out of where we've been. So it'll take us a good, like, 4 or 5 days to sink into, you know, Mother Earth, so to speak. And, you know, soon the phones disappear and then, you know, the communication starts to flow a lot more rapidly and easily. And and where the shoes are off, and you know, we lose our shoes for 3 weeks, and it's like all these little beautiful things happen, and we start to feel closer, and I feel closer to the earth and to all of that. And then, you know, when we're coming home and you're coming in through the mountains and stuff, you can start to feel the Wi-Fi and the grids. You can actually start to physically feel those things coming in on you when you come back in. It's like you really have to try and hold your space.
Such a denser frequency.
It is,
And so I think it's probably important to look at how you can bring those aspects into all of life, like for people who can't, for whatever reason, get away off the grid for 4 weeks a year, or don't want to, or whatever, bringing that beautiful connection into the everyday and into the every week and every month, so that that is infused through life, that is so heavily weighed with technology and connection in a totally different way, connection to the disconnection, really. And, you know, whether that's through bringing plants into your home, or consuming more plants with herbal teas and foods, and getting into the earth when you can. I mean, I'm kind of thinking about my friend who lives in Iceland at the moment, where it's like pretty dark most of the day, and it's snowing and it's cold, and it's like, you know, what do people in those kind of climates do?
Yes.
And making sure that they still go outside and touch the plants and the trees, and just even converse and talk and be with the frozen lake and, you know, that kind of thing. It's there's so many things that we can do, and also just intentionally connecting, because, I mean, it's all energy anyway. So even if you live in a 54-story high-rise apartment and you've got no plants, you can intentionally and energetically connect with the earth and the pulse of the earth and the soul of the earth, Which is, yeah, a really, really beautiful connection point as well.
And that is a really powerful point of where we channel and I'll say anchor in, but I don't mean in a heavy way, our energies and our intentions and our center of being. And recently when it went, and I know you do this a lot too, is having the, that TVs are converting to these wall pictures, wall picture frames, and with YouTube you can have them on for 8 hours of crystal bowl sounds or nature forest scenes, mandalas, and things like that. You can create, even in a concrete building, you know, a energy of nature in your space.
Totally.
Even if, you know, you don't have that green thumb, but I'm sure you can find a plant that does
love
you.
Yeah, there's always a way. Yeah, absolutely. And intentionally disconnecting from, you know, your phone and not having it on freaking 24/7 and putting it in another room when you sleep and or on flight mode or whatever. Just there's little things that we can do to help us to ground and connect. That's literally even nothing to do with Mother Nature, but it's coming back to our own nature without the distraction and the noise and distortion of technology, which, you know, we love, and it's such a powerful tool in moderation.
Yeah.
And when it remains a tool, not our master.
Yeah. Clear point, because that's the thing. Relationship. And I have definitely noticed this year, it's like you pick up your phone to go to a note or something, all of a sudden you're sucked into a vortex of Instagram or Facebook, and it's like, whoa, how did I end up here? Yeah. Like, I consider myself to be fairly aware. Like, what happened? And there is, the energies are getting stronger because the veil is thinner, and so it's kind of more accessible. So, yeah, it's being aware of that without fear.
Yeah. Without fear, exactly. Yeah, yeah, true. And I notice when I get sucked into that vortex, when I pull out, I haven't breathed properly for however long I've been. And I feel lightheaded or, you know.
Or like anxious or nauseous. Like I definitely feel that physiological response in my body, even from just going on there for a few minutes. It's a strange thing. And I think it's just the overload of information that's being blasted. And plus the energetics of the technology and the intentions behind it. But yeah, from a superficial standpoint, there is, you're just literally ingesting content piece after content piece after content piece, and you're if you think of it like, I might have spoken about this on here before, but it's like energetic threads. Every person or thing you come into connection with, whether it's online or offline, there's an energetic thread between you. And you think, if you scroll through 20 posts even or a story, thread, and so like cleansing that off with the water, with shower, with baths, with ocean, with frozen lakes, with whatever.
Intentional breathing for 10 minutes.
Like even I've noticed recently hair, you know, hair really picks up on energies. It's our antenna, right? And I notice I'm wanting, this is a desire to wash my hair more. Definitely not from a practical standpoint, but energetically, I feel so much lighter when I've had a lot of interaction with clients or whatever during the day. To strip that away, just really helps. So that's another grounding thing.
Yeah, actually, funny you mentioned that, because I said to you this morning I didn't sleep very well last night for numerous reasons. But now when you say that, I had the intention of washing my hair last night, and I got distracted and it was too late. So I thought, I'll do it tomorrow. And I think that I can feel
definitely makes a lot of difference.
Don't think about things like that, hey? It's really interesting. I know, like the hair thing's a big one, because I know that when I first met my husband, he had really long blonde hair. just seems so bizarre.
Can't imagine that now.
I know, it sounds so bizarre. And one day he came home after he'd been doing some deep work, and he said, I want to cut my hair off. And I was like, because I was so attracted to that too. And I was like, why do you want to do that? He said, well, hair carries energy. And I'm wanting to, you know, cleanse part of that as well. So I remember we clipped his hair off, and he looked like a completely different person, but also felt like a completely different person.
So much lighter.
So it's so interesting, that whole And memory, it holds memory as well.
Yeah, yeah. So. It is interesting because there's kind of two opposing schools of thought on the hair thing, and not to go on too much of a tangent, but is one is, and I think this just comes from, you know, ancient indigenous tribes and that kind of thing, where the longer the hair, the more wise you are supposed to be.
Yes.
And once it gets to a certain length, there is, you absorb more vitamin D and things like that. And when your hair goes white, silver, gray, that is even more ability to absorb
knowledge.
Like, yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah.
And really, you're so smart, Amanda.
But I think that, well, I mean, you're fabulous. Yes. So it is, there is, I feel like there's something in that because if you think about how we are so indoctrinated to dye our hair as women, like it's not, yes, you're not to be gray. It's like, well, you're already wise and amazing enough. So definitely don't leave your hair white, silver, gray, because yes, then you're just like this whole other level.
You'll
of,
be visibly a wise woman or visibly, yeah, someone,
yeah,
that,
exactly,
you know,
yeah,
an elder.
There's,
or,
there's,
yeah,
definitely something there in it, I feel.
Yeah.
But I also get it from the other standpoint of like it holds memory, and so shaving it off frees up that
so
space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I did a crystal bowl, was receiving a crystal bowl ceremony. The lady who held the ceremony said the first thing you need to do now is go swim in the ocean or wash, you know, have a shower and wash your hair, because the energy of the vibrations of the bowls, you know, the resonancy pushes out all the dross and the, it's like an elimination process. So you need,
yes,
to cleanse that from your physical body as,
yeah,
well.
Totally makes sense. Mm. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now just back to the grounding too, because I know that I've got a couple of friends that every day we'll go and find a piece of grass or a tree and sit on the grass with their back against the tree and, you know, just exchange energies with the earth too. You know, it's not just a taking, it's a giving as well. It's it's a beautiful exchange of energy between, you know, Mother Earth and
they
energy.
Love it.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it. I mean, if you, I mean, there's countless studies on plants and trees and human interaction and positivity versus negativity. But even if you go and put your head on a tree, I actually learned this in my shamanic training, third eye to the tree, you actually see the electric current that's running through the tree, and you feel that in your body, and it's almost like it's like a portal,
a connection,
an exchange of energy and communication. It's very cool.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, this is a thing that's been resonating with me personally, is this the exchange thing is beautiful, which is like the helix, is it the Taurus sphere, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
But that, you know, for people that find it difficult to meditate or find it difficult to just sit still for 5 minutes or whatever it is, that the same benefits can come from, with the right intention, like you said earlier, with going walking with your shoes off in the grass or sitting next to a tree. You know, it's the intention, the trust, you know, and the belief too, that it's actually, you know, all of those things come into play. And
presence.
Yeah.
Which I think is something that's actually quite rare for a lot of us, because we are constantly moving from one thing to another or being blasted with information or demands of the world. And so to intentionally set aside the time, I call that time in the morning keeping the world at bay.
Yeah.
You know, you're not turning your phone on, you're not looking at anything. You are connecting, and whichever way you choose to do that, through prayer, through meditation, through walking on the earth, being with a tree, whatever, that just brings you into deep presence with this moment, which, as we know, is all that exists. And it's kind of, you know, thrown around like all we have is now, and it's like, well, yeah, because it's just like a whole bunch of moments of now.
Yes, yes.
And so, like, when we really hook into that point, we, like, you know, the energy flow, the connection to source, our inner wisdom and knowledge has space to come through, and we're not thinking, not trying to solve problems or, you know, be reactive or responsive. We're just being, and that is a gift to ourselves.
And hearing you say that, it's kind of like what we've been talking around exercising that meditation muscle or the intuition muscle, that exercising that beingness,
which is very uncomfortable for most people, because like, who am I? Like, if I'm all of a sudden alone with my thoughts and feelings, what am I going to think and feel? Like, what's in there? Which is, you know, why it's so much easier to distract with shopping and food and alcohol and social media and, you know, gym, work, you know, fill in the blank. And so, but it's always going to be there and just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so that kind of feeling of not feeling like you can sit still and meditate. Like this morning, I woke up in such a funk, such a funk. I was irritated. I wanted to crawl out of my skin. I was irritated for like no reason. And I knew if I sat in meditation, or if I tried to sit in meditation, I would just feel angry.
Yeah, agreeing with yourself.
Yeah. And so I had to move. I had to get that energy moving up and out.
Yeah.
And so I did yoga and I went for a run and then I jumped in a cold pool and I, again, like cleansing my hair. I was like, don't want to wash my hair today, but I've got to get in that pool and I've got to just whoosh, this away. And then, I'm back. And then I could meditate. But yeah, like that stored energy in your body, it's finding a way to let it up and out, and being in nature is a really good
way.
And I guess especially waking up in the morning too, is obviously there was a process that, well, not obviously, but perhaps there was a process that occurred overnight where your beingness wanted to shift that out before you could be you know, present in the moment.
Totally
What was that saying that we both, that I said this morning? Being uncomfortable
is a sign you're paying attention.
That was... Being uncomfortable is a sign of... being uncomfortable is a gift. Or it was something like that, to paying attention.
Yes.
Because it makes you pay attention. It was
absolutely.
Like, yes. So it does.
They are signs and signals and gifts and treasures. And we just want to, like, run away from them or hide or suppress or whatever. But it's actually, like, beautiful information that we can use as to, you know... Whether we're on path, or, you know, if we have to let an emotion through, or I mean, it's endless. And I can definitely share that I, you know, spent a long time just not wanting to be uncomfortable, just really doing everything to make sure everything felt nice and easy and in flow. And it's like, no, a life of magic and miracles is actually embracing that discomfort and those uncomfortable feelings.
God, I love it. I love that you just said that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that saying was, when we're uncomfortable, we're paying attention.
So true.
And I think a lot of people, and I'll you know, even for myself, will try and avoid that. Not now. I mean, I'm aware of that now, but for a long time I would have tried to avoid being uncomfortable.
Like, oh no, that's uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Back to safety, back to comfort.
Or seeing it and looking at it from a distance, observing it and going, that will make me uncomfortable. I'm going to go over there because I know that's going to make me comfortable, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you come into that awareness and you're like, oh yeah, I can't do that anymore because now I'm aware of it.
Damn it. Because it's popping up. Or that same thing's popping up everywhere you look. Shit's over there. Oh, shit. And if, you know, before you know it, the only way is facing
it. Is through.
Yeah. Well, it's that putting the convenient spirituality hat on. I'll just take it off for a little minute.
I'll
put it back on now. Okay. It's like,
that's so true.
Yeah. And I think definitely what you just, that whole.
That was a beautiful little saying. We needed to capture that.
It's gone. It's in a past moment that doesn't exist.
And it's a similar thing to what you're saying around where we find ourselves, where we see home as being out there or here on earth and in here. You know, and you've been saying for a while now, the answer is in here. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that are there to support our learning and our knowledge and guide us through. But it's you can't keep that as an addiction or drip feeding yourself that as a distraction as well, or avoidance, or staying in a comfort zone because I can do this and I'm ticking that box. But what about what is really happening in here? And you've been sharing for a while. It's like, you know,
because it's
create
it's
space
like,
around this.
It's the least sexy, most seemingly boring and difficult thing to do is to just go inside. It's like, oh, it's just there. Like, yeah. It's not over here with the shiny astrology and galactic and, you know, all the things like that seem so fabulous and out there and wonderful and magical and mystical. It's like, no,
the full moon party
is right in here. Like, you get access to that 24/7 and you know, you don't need to go and, yeah, whatever the thing is.
Well, take it with you when you go. You're tapped in there already. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's just something that just should not be feared, but should be like, oh my God, I've got this whole treasure trove sitting right inside me and I can access it at any time, anywhere, any day for free. And it's like right there. I don't need anyone or anything. Mm. And that's, yeah, it's almost too easy.
I was just about to say, why does it feel like you've just said something that's been hidden in a, yes, you know, in a tomb somewhere, yeah, that because now it's just being
released.
Because
you can't sell it.
No.
Oh, that's, can't. Yeah. Yeah. That's a,
yeah. Fuck. What have we just stumbled onto? It's so true. Like, I'm sitting here listening to you go, and I'm going, yeah, that's just so too fucking easy. It can't be that easy.
Yeah.
But it is the hardest thing to do is actually look at your stuff and want to change it for the better.
Yeah.
Well, be comfortable with it first.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not even, it's like the allowing. And when you allow, all of this shit actually just falls away. But the allowing piece of it is like radical self-acceptance, radical self-responsibility, and the willingness to sit in the discomfort of the thing that you've been trying to run away from for however long, because it's that short-term pain for the long-term gain or freedom. And it like we just don't want to feel that. It'd be way easier to look at like, oh, well, my Mercury is in Mars right now. Well, I know that's not even a thing. But, you know, just to point to the ridiculousness of it. And like even the fact, I mean, I've gone down the astrology rabbit hole and I love it. And it is a distraction from my perspective. And like, how many different types of astrology are there that all say different things about the same person? Well, I just think that's bizarre.
Yeah, but, well, I think what it comes to as well is it's the wrong relationship that we have with that tool. Like, because as a tool, it's a part of the cycling of the seasons and, you know, the way that the planet shifts on its axis through those seasons and things like that, and what planets, what fixed stars, all those type of things are communication of our environment and being in resonance and harmony with that. But yet we read the paper and it's our sun sign and it's going, ooh. And we're looking for those, we're looking for things outside of ourselves again in a way that is not encompassing what the actual tool has to offer.
Yeah,
it's the same as like walking on earth and going, well, I like my concrete pathway, nice and clean and neat, with no leaves on it, but forgetting why the tree is there in the first place and that, you know, you actually...
need it to breathe.
Yes. Exactly.
I want to take
that simple.
Yeah. I want to look at it from a different viewpoint than what we've just talked about. I want to look at it from the viewpoint, because I know when you say radical responsibility,
cool.
I want to look at it from the point of view where you want to blame others and you want other people to take responsibility and you want, no, it's not my fault, they did this to me.
You
want to
get dirty.
Yeah, like, because that's reality. That's why people don't want to look at their stuff.
Yeah,
because there's so always someone else's fault. Yeah. Or they put me in this situation, or it's because of them this happened, or you know, I grew up without this, or I grew up with this, or it's my mum or my dad, it's my family. You know, there's a million different people we could blame or situations, and I think that's the area that locks a lot of people in from looking at their own stuff.
Definitely. And whenever I think about blame, the first image that comes to mind is pointing the finger.
Yeah.
Because when you're pointing the finger, three are pointing back at you.
Yeah. Mm.
And so it's always like any time. It's so funny. I was just having, I sent a voice note to a client on the way here. It was exactly about this topic. because you cannot throw a hot coal at someone or something else without burning your hand. Like, it's always, always coming back to you.
Oh.
And when you think about it from the perspective that we are all one consciousness, so what you give, you simultaneously receive, well, if you're blaming out there, it's just coming back to you anyway,
yeah,
again and again and again. And this is how everything works. You know, you're giving love, it's coming back. You're giving abundantly, it's coming back, you know, whatever. And so the blame game can only ever go on so long. Like, eventually it always,
it's just recycling,
loops back to the point where you're like, oh, I can't possibly keep pointing out that way anymore.
Yeah,
it's like my partner Lee will use the analogy, metaphor, I always get those mixed up, of looking in the mirror, frowning, and trying to change the mirror to smile. Like, why is the mirror not changing? It's like, you got to change. And then, you know, if you want to then go to the other level of, it's all your movie of life, and you're the creator, you're the director, you're the actor, you're the casting director, like, everyone is there for
you. And
the star.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm. Like, no one else actually exists.
Yeah.
It's all you interacting with aspects of you. And it's like, oh, okay then. Radical responsibility comes back again.
This, it's a bit, there's another saying too, which is, not forgiving someone is like drinking poison and expecting them to die.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So the other thing that I wanted to say on that quickly, and a more positive note, is that I know that past people have said to me, a beautiful way of looking at that is always ask, what would love do in any situation?
Matt Kahn,
is, you know, that's the full, fully feeling and taking responsibility.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. What would love do? What would love say? How would love feel?
Because I feel like that's really at play at the moment. There's a lot of people that are, you know, and nothing's changing. And I get there's layers too. And I also understand that there are layers of blaming too, you know, like that you might have to go through a few rounds to get some of those layers off, to be able to actually even see where you played your part, you know. Because sometimes there can be heavy things that you've been through that there's just, it's so dark in there that you can't see a way out.
And there's so definitely like an unraveling or chipping away.
And I understand that as well. But at the end of the line, it is all about,
always comes back to self.
It always comes back to self.
And I think, like, if we're really honest, anytime we do want to point the finger or blame or judge or any of that kind of thread, we can feel subtly the part of us that's addicted to that feeling. And it's like a, you know, whether it's the victim-y feeling or the righteous feeling or whatever it is for the individual.
It's very murky waters with all of those words, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we don't want to be like, I'm not a judgmental person. I don't like being a victim. Why would I, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, well, if you're choosing that response, then you are playing into that. And then that radical responsibility, which the ego just hates.
Yes.
And even to say the words, what would love do, some people really just cringe at that. And like the ego is just like, whoa, this is like way unfamiliar territory. Yeah. Like, but they did this and that's not fair and blah, 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 blah. Mm. And it's like, you can keep playing that game, but it's going to loop back again and again.
Yeah.
And you can see the conditions around how interactions happen in that space. Byron Katie has an amazing process around that as well, where she reverses everything that you say, basically.
Yes.
And then when you do that, it's like, whoa, okay. It's very confrontational.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like, well, I feel like this and this is what happened and they did that. And then if you reverse it all.
And it's so, does it reverse and point the finger back?
Basically, or, that's what it does. So it's a it asks you to, in that moment, to accept radical responsibility because you are seeing it as fully self-created.
Yeah, and do you know
self-owned,
what
self-owned,
I just love about the awareness of this is, like, if you're the creator of everything, you're the creator of everything. Like, that's so empowering to know that you're never the victim of anyone, anything, anywhere, anytime. And so you get to choose how you feel and how you experience life. And I just think, is that not the most empowering thought that you could have? Like, I think that's amazing.
Yeah, oh, so that's
amazing.
A process in itself.
And if you have that power to choose, if you accept that you have the power to choose, why would you choose to create crap all the time?
Exactly.
A lot of people do.
Yeah, because they're addicted to it.
And they're addicted to it. So this is another beautiful quote that I saw the other day that really resonated with me. Healing also means taking an honest look at the role you play in your own suffering.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good one.
That's a powerful one, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because you know, if we're not taking any radical self responsibility, or if we're not getting uncomfortable with our stuff, then we're literally just playing over and over and over in our own suffering.
Absolutely.
In the dirt.
Yeah.
We're down in the mud.
And then there's no evolution, and then you're just going to come back and play the same game all over again.
Yeah.
For all eternity.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I can't think of a worse hell.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy.
So people listening, and we're all in it together. There's no one that's left out of this
box. We all have this.
If you have something in your life that you're struggling with, see if you can turn it on its head, or flip it over, or look at it backwards, or ask yourself, what would love do?
Yes,
For yourself. And forgiveness doesn't mean you're letting anyone off the hook. The only person that you're letting off the hook is yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, there's this vision too that when you forgive somebody, or when you do something for yourself, that the other person, you're letting the other person get away with something. That's not the case.
Yeah.
That's some fucked up default that somebody said or created a story about that we've all bought into, you know, that you have to pay people back. It doesn't work like that.
No.
The universe doesn't work like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just creating more chaos for yourself, or even more trauma, or
responsibilities that you don't need to own. Like, it's your responsibility to pay that person back. Like,
like, who do you think you are? There's there's a whole greater power at play. And like, yes, we are extraordinary, powerful beings, but not for that purpose.
No.
Like, that's way above our pay grade.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that.
Yes.
I think, why would you want to, as you say, shit in your own backyard?
exactly. And so, the forgiveness piece is really, really big. And I think that's why people get all kind of like, oh, I'm not forgiving them, they did wrong by me, or whatever. And it's like, no, that's not the purpose of forgiveness. It is to dissolve all parts that are being played in this scenario. And so, like, I almost think forgiveness just needs to have a whole new definition.
Yes.
It's just not that.
No.
And so when we can look at it from the perspective of, by forgiving, it is like relinquishing any tethers, any ties, any attachments to that situation, circumstance, whatever, so that there is peace and there is love in its place. Well, like, why would we not choose that?
Yeah,
and set yourself
kind of
free.
Makes it insane.
The funny thing is too, though, the funny thing is that when you get to the point where you can actually let go of it and do what you just said, there's a lot of energy attached to that. And you can physically non-physically.
Energetically.
Yeah. Thank you. Metaphysically.
Yeah.
The energy can dissipate from that person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like 100%. All of a sudden that person who's been holding a grudge or whatever, if you can clear the energy yourself around the situation, that can shift in the other person without you even verbally saying anything.
Absolutely.
I've seen that work time and time again.
That's
the magic, and that's the part that we've lost trust yeah. in. Yeah.
And it works with, like, I'm thinking of Ho'oponopono. So the Ho'oponopono prayer is like the perfect method for forgiveness.
Mm.
And I love that you can use it on yourself, on somebody else, on a situation, on like a house, a car, like anything that you're having issues with, you can use it on, and then
it can see dissipate.
It. Yeah.
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 How amazing. It's
amazing.
Because it can happen across timelines and lifetimes. Mm. And
yeah.
I know the times that I have felt found it, you know, difficult to forgive someone or something, or, you know, an experience, I felt really isolated or and, you know, out of myself, like not myself.
Yeah, yeah, because the truth of you is pure, unconditional, eternal love.
Yeah.
So the truth of you is not holding a grudge or angry at someone or whatever. That's the illusion part of you. Yeah.
And the negative energy, it's got very smart because it wants us to play.
Yeah,
right? It wants us to play in that area that we know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the truth is it is harder.
It is harder.
To get out of that negative energy field that we get caught in.
Yeah.
And bring ourselves into a new space that we haven't felt before.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I've been learning about myself too. You know, it's like if you want shift and change, you actually have to do the work.
Yeah, there's zero getting away from it now. Like you used to be able to like bypass it a bit and just kind of glaze over it and gloss over it. Can't do that anymore.
Wait for another 6 months before it comes back around and whacks you again.
And now it's like coming back. Yeah. And
there's only this moment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's brutal.
It's brutal but amazing.
But
too,
it's amazing.
Because if you can, like you said earlier, if you can freaking love this blip of a lifetime that we have and actually jump into every experience that comes your way, big, small, whatever it is, and love it and go, fuck, wow, thank you, universe. So, you know, it's hard right now.
Yeah. But love your way through it.
Love your way through it.
Be in love as you step into it. Like, just have love as your default vibe.
And that is a practice. It's not like you just, okay, love's my default now, la, 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 easy, easy, easy. Like, no.
Yeah.
It's work.
It is work.
But it's like, everything only has the meaning that we give it. So why not give it love?
Mm.
Oh, say that one again.
Yeah.
Everything only has the meaning that we give it. So why not give it love?
Ah, that's so beautiful.
Isn't it true? Yeah, like, it's so, so true.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. You know what's been coming in for me lately, which is so not me, but I'm going to just say it's probably part of the newer me.
Mm.
Is this Christ consciousness.
Mm.
And I never knew. I've heard lots of people talk about it and it used to go over my head. Mm. Yeah. And I've been getting right into it lately because I feel like it's happening.
Oh, it's happening.
Yeah.
We're in that wave.
Because also what's coming along with the Christ consciousness is the Mary Magdalene unveiling as part of the unveiling. So that divine feminine and divine masculine, the true story of that moment in time when those two were walking together, but also how there's bloodline timelines, you know, the, what that is all about. It's it's getting louder and louder, that voice, in the most beautiful way. So so it doesn't, it just, she just fills you. She's amazing. It's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
And
I think like the connection to that aspect of consciousness, or that energy, or however you want to view it, is life-changing because it connects you back into your truth and your source. Because, like, you know, that Christ consciousness is us. Like, you know, if you think Jesus being our brother, and we are all brothers and sisters together, and yeah, it's all just interwoven as one.
Well, that's everything that we've just been talking about, isn't it? Like the way he interacted and the way he just did everything with love. And everything was happening for him.
Yeah.
And
that's how he could be there being crucified with absolutely nothing but love.
Yeah.
And I think that's just, it's just such a great space to live from.
Yeah.
That the ego will hate, because the ego is opposing love.
Yeah.
But over time, it just, you just shift and you click further and deeper and yeah, more into that truth.
And that kind of also, that taps into a lot around like the ego, resistance to love, but also underpinning that is the self-worth and love of self, which comes back to that, how we're comfortable we feel being in ourselves and tapping into our innate nature self.
Totally.
Because it's, you know, often difficult to receive a compliment, to receive nice things,
you know. Yeah, to receive support, to receive encouragement, everything. Like, it's very, it's a big one. That's a whole other conversation, for women in particular, definitely. I feel it's one of the biggest things I work with women on is actually receiving, because it seems like something that's so like, oh yeah, you know, your ability to receive, like, I can, like, of course someone's going to hand me $1 million, I'll easily receive that. It's like, would you?
Yeah.
How can you receive a compliment? Can you receive someone opening a door for you?
Yeah.
Can you receive someone carrying your shopping for you? Because there's this kind of, you know, we've worked so hard to get independence and do it alone, and, you know, we can have babies alone, we can, you know, all the things, and it's like, do we want that?
Yeah.
Do we really want that? I don't know.
So true.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's the same thing that I think I've said in a few different podcasts, is I don't think we've felt the true essence of love, like the true essence of what love is. And I think that's what you're talking about. Oh, it's
overwhelming.
Yeah. Can we handle it?
Yeah, yeah. It's not something that I feel we could just receive. That is an unraveling.
Yeah.
That is a opening as a conscious, intentional thing day by day. How can I be more open to love today?
Yeah.
Can I open myself to more love today? And just being very open to opening to love.
Yeah.
Because the depth of love that we truly are is incomprehensible. Yeah. And I think would probably make most of our brains explode.
Yeah.
Oh, I can feel a prickling in my head even you're saying that. It's like a
frequency, isn't it?
Yeah, it just starts to shift around.
Yeah. And you get glimpses of that through meditation, through prayer, through those connection practices. And they're almost, I mean, from my own experience, I can honestly say that it's so fleeting, because I almost can't handle it. It's like there's a part of me that's like, oh my god, just like, let me sit in this forever. But another part that's like, holy shit, that's a lot.
And it's not a love that, oh, my husband loves me so much. It's got nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah.
It's you on your own, in your own essence.
Yeah.
It's the love that's sitting. It's. I heard the other day about the igniting the flame, you know, inside. It's like we've all just got the trickle of the flame happening inside of us, and it hasn't even, you know, been in its like full glory
nothing.
Yet.
Yeah.
It's just waiting.
Which kind of coming with the love and the receiving, and also like the Christ and Mary Magdalene consciousness. You have a retreat coming up that you've called Eden, which is, you know, unraveling to have a lot of these energies around it, isn't it, of receiving, you know.
And absolutely. Then back to the grounding.
And the grounding.
Because there's a lot of powerful grid points on the planet, and Bali is one of those grid points.
It is. Yeah. And actually the resort where I'm hosting this retreat is, it's on a ley line, and it's got these beautiful monks that come and pray there every, I think it's 7 years, on this like specific meditation spot. And there's just an energy in this place, and I just knew after being there for 2 days, I was like, I have to bring people here. Like, this is magic. There is things that happen just by being on the land here, and and I love that whole connection to the earth and the grid, and those energetic frequencies that run through that beautiful nature.
And is that what inspired you to call your retreat Eden, or was that something more than that?
It's funny, because I had the name Eden. It kept coming to me like over and over and over, and I'm like, what is Eden? And I kind of felt like it was this invitation from Source to bring more Eden into my life, like living through that you know, more the paradise, the beauty, the luxury of how Eden is in a definition standpoint. And then it was like the two pieces just clicked together. When I knew I was going to be hosting a retreat at this space, and then it was like, oh, this is Eden. Like, of course it is, because it just is Eden. Yeah, like, beautiful. It's paradise. It's luxury. It's beauty. It's just idyllic. It's amazing. And you know, they've got their own fruits and vegetables that they grow on the land, and it's, you know, organic, and everything's just been built with this owner from the ground up. And you feel the love through everything, the food, the staff, the rooms, everything. Everything is just infused with this extraordinarily high frequency of love that honestly, like, I could, like, on reflection, looking back when I went there, I can see why I had resistance to going. There was like a lot of parts of myself that were like stepping into a new level of receivership that I didn't even know that I needed to step into, or like was like the next level. And then when I got there and was experiencing it, like the kind of unfolding of almost like an armor that I was wearing of like controlling my environment and controlling how I feel and experience and run my life, which was a surprise to me, because I was like, I'm very relaxed, I'm very chill. I was in my comfort zone for sure. And so this was like this whole level of receivership and abundance and embodiment and like really dropping deeper into my feminine core. And it was like, wow, I just didn't even know that that was waiting there for me. And so it's a gift, and when you receive a gift, you pass it on. And so that's what I'm doing with Eden.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So feels fantastic.
Yeah. This is in
May
next year.
Yes. 1st to the 7th of May 2024.
Yep. How do our listeners get on board?
Well, reach out to me privately. We'll give you my...
which we'll put at the end of the podcast.
My link, the early bird... at time of recording, the early bird finishes tomorrow. But for all Girl Awakening listeners, I want to extend the early bird out until February next year.
Wow.
So that gives the listeners who are listening far, far away extra time to get on board. If there are spaces left, there's only 8 spaces left. So jump in quick if you are thinking about it, or, you know, just reach out to me for an invitation and I'll send you all the information that you want and need. But yes, early bird discount will apply for all Girl Awakening listeners. Just quote Girl Awakening when you reach out to me, and I will extend that for you.
How exciting.
That's so beautiful. Generous. My god, very generous.
I think it's kind of like when you gather in these spaces too, like and connect, like what you shared about receiving, you are giving back by activating yourself, being activated, or if you want to put it that way, and activating the land on, you know, the continual loop. But then when you go home and you carry that frequency with you, and if you're making that conscious connection to your space at home,
and that is one of the high intentions of this retreat for me, is to make sure that, because often with these kind of spaces we can get on such a high and like, oh my god, that was amazing, I feel so good, and then you go back to your normal life and it's like poof, you know, it hits you like a ton of bricks, and the integration's hard and all the things. I'm very, very intentional about making it a very integrative and embodied experience, so that you are literally taking that essence of Eden back into just who you are. So it flows through your life with tangible, practical things, because, again, kind of looping it back to where we started with, you know, being out in the ether and the spiritual 5th, 7th, 12th dimensional woo-woo, galactic, all the things, like, great, love it, love playing in that space. I mean, I call myself the light language
queen. Yeah, you're out there.
I'm pretty comfortable in that space. But it's because I know and having spent so much time out there and being very comfortable in what I would call my office.
Yes.
For everyone listening, I'm like pointing up to the ethers because I, you know, it is comfortable for me to play in that space. And I was out of my body for a long time because I didn't want to feel the feelings of being human. It's too much. Yeah. Like, ooh, so much feely feels.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now having really integrated that so that I can bring that divine light source energy into this reality and bring the earth energy up and then meet that really in the heart center of where the divine feminine lives and the receiving and the embodiment and that beautiful nourishment and nurturing, like that's the essence of Eden. So yes, we get to do the spiritual woo-woo stuff, but it is actually more grounded, more grounding, so that you're in your body and you're not, you know, coming back home talking about aliens and, well, you can do whatever you want.
Yes.
It's not that's not what it's about.
Because you kind of just back into that area for yourself with your office and being grounded here on earth as well, you make a practice in your daily life of doing things that are grounding for you as well as like your of integrating those two, as you're saying, like with your light language and the downloads that you receive constantly. You use quite a few grounding practices, like you described before, jumping in the pool, which is, you know.
Yeah, water's a big one for me. So whether it's like magnesium baths, showers, getting in the pool, getting in the ocean, like that's regular for sure. I mean, obviously a shower every day, but but you know, it's like it's non-negotiable. Like if I go out to a shopping center, I'm coming home and I'm taking a shower because the energy's it's a lot. So lots of grounding practices, definitely being outside. And one of my favorite things to do at the moment is to get barefoot on the grass and just dance with the frequency of the earth. Like I very rarely listen to music and that's because I'm either singing a light language or I'm tuning into the frequency of what's there. And so when we allow that and bring that through our bodies, we get to like integrate that beautiful grounded energy that's alive and has like beautiful life force for us. So I'm like singing and channeling and then bringing the groundedness through, and it just morphs into this glorious frequency that's very embodied
and interaction as well too, isn't it? You're describing a beautiful interaction.
But yeah, I mean, I could talk all day about grounding practices and things that you can do, but
so the simplest is just taking your shoes off on the grass. Isn't that really amazing? And you're connecting and, you know, there's so many benefits like alone for that.
Wherever you are, wherever you live, there's grass somewhere near you.
Yes.
Yes.
You don't have to go too far.
Yeah.
So everyone can do that.
I love the sound of Eden, and I love that you're bringing it to life, and it's really beautiful.
I'm so excited. I literally every day I'm getting like new little nuggets and pieces. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if it's going to be like this for the next 6 months,
Because you have facilitated a lot of retreats, and it's kind of like really exciting where you're going with this, because it's kind of a new,
playing ground
that you're creating.
So I've always facilitated with other people, and so this is just me solo.
So exciting.
I'm really excited.
Very lucky people.
I'm really excited. Yeah.
So for our listeners, we will definitely pop Narelle's links on the bottom of this podcast. So if you want to go to Eden next year in May, it'll be so exciting. So you can jump on board as well. But thank you so much, Narelle.
Could you try again?
No, Siri. Be quiet.
Siri wants us to try again.
You should have a podcast with Siri. Yeah. See what she's got to say.
It's quite possible.
Thank you, darling, for coming on. And
thank you for having me again.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, sharing everything that you have to give. You're just so generous with what you bring through. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I talk to you.
spirit. She comes in my dreams.
Thank you for listening to our Girl Awakening podcast. We are also on YouTube as Girl Awakening. We'd love to see you there with comments on how our guest resonated with you or your own awakening. Please share the love with a like and subscribe while you're there. A blissful thank you to Ksenia Luki, the amazing artist behind our theme song. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.